Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The illusioned living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. Purport. The different forms of the living entities are different dresses offered by the illusory external energy of the Lord. According to the modes of nature, the living being's desires to enjoy. The external material energy is represented by her three modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. So even in the material nature, there is a chance of an independent choice by the living entity. And according to his choice, the material energy offers him different varieties of material bodies. There are 900,000 varieties of material bodies in the water, 2 million vegetable bodies, 1.1 million worms and reptiles, 1 million forms of birds, 3 million different bodies of beasts, and 400 human forms. Altogether, there are 8.4 million varieties of bodies in different planets of the universe. And the living entity is traveling by so many transmigrations according to different modes of enjoying spirit within himself. Even in one particular body, the living entity changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, from youth to old age, and from old age to another body created by his own action. The living entity creates his own body by his personal desires, and the external energy of the Lord supplies him the exact form by which he can enjoy his desire to the fullest extent. The tiger wanted to enjoy the blood of another animal, and therefore, by the grace of the Lord, the material energy supplied him the body of the tiger with facilities for enjoying blood from another animal. Similarly, a living entity designed to get body of a demigod in a higher planet can also get it by the grace of the Lord. And if he is intelligent enough, he can desire to get a spiritual body to enjoy the company of the Lord, and he will get it. So, the minute freedom of the living entity can be fully utilized, and the Lord is so kind that he will award the living entity the same type of body he desires. The living entity's desiring is like dreaming of a golden mountain. A person knows what a mountain is, and he knows also what is gold. Out of his desire only, he dreams of a golden mountain, and when the dream is over, he sees something else in his presence. He finds in his awakened state that there is neither gold nor a mountain, what to speak of a golden mountain. The different positions of the living entities in the material world under multifarious manifestations of bodies are due to the misconceptions of mine and I. The Kami thinks of this world as mine, and the Jnani thinks I am everything. The whole material conception of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned souls, is on the basis of this misconceived I and mine, which are products of a strong desire to enjoy material life. Identification with the body and the place where the body is obtained under different conceptions of socialism, nationalism, family affection, and so on and so forth, is all due to the forgetfulness of the real nature of the living entity. And the whole misconception of the bewildered living entity can be removed by the association of Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, as all this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Urmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So translation again, the illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. So Hare Krishna, I'd like to seek blessings and of all the Vaishnavas assembled here and online, especially from our seniors, along with blessings so I can speak of something of use. And I'd like to also ask them to keep me honest, as this is my purification, sitting on this comfortable Vyasasan. It's been a while since I've been on here, so Krishna help me. Okay, so Sukhdev Goswami is now responding to many wonderful questions posed to him by Maharaj Parikshit. In yesterday's class, His Holiness Dayananda Maharaj shared a recap of what has happened so far from Canto 1 and also from this canto up to this chapter where Parikshit Maharaj has asked all the questions, and now, and especially intriguingly, he's asking about the creation. Why intriguingly? Because he's about to face death in 7 days, right? Why would then somebody want to know about creation? How the Lord created the material world and all these different living entities, non-conformist living entities. Anyway, in today's verse, Sukadev Goswami continues to describe how all these living entities came about and are put into this material condition, encaged, because they had a behest of wanting to come here. Just like a child has a behest of wanting the moon, and the mother gives a mirror to pacify the child. Oh, look, the moon is here in the mirror. So the child goes, oh yes, I've got the moon. But it's all an illusion, right? So similarly, Srila Prabhupada mentions in a lecture to this specific class, given in Tokyo on 22nd April 1972, he says that those humans who like the taste of blood and meat will take their next birth in a suitable body to allow them to further enjoy this propensity. That is the way the material nature works, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. In the verse 925, does anybody remember the verse 925? Bhagavad Gita talks about Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitran Yanti Pitravataha Bhutani Yanti Bhutejya Yanti Mad Yanji No Pimam. It talks about how at our time of death, those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods, and those who worship the ancestors will take birth, will go to the ancestors. But those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. So it's very clear in the Bhagavad Gita, and then also expanded further in the Bhagavatam, about where the destinations will be of all these billions of living entities who are only thinking of I and mine and sense gratifying. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that one who has desire to go to the moon, the sun, or any other planet, one can simply do so by following the Vedic principles recommended for that purpose, such as those processes technically known as Darsha Purnamasya. There is a special way of actually traveling to these other planets, and that can be done. We know that on the sun planet, there are living entities. They don't have a body, material body like us, made of earth, water, fire, ether, air. They have a fiery body, and they can actually live on that planet. It's just that science haven't really caught up to that just yet. According to the association of three modes of material nature, we are getting different types of body, and according to different types of body, we are developing different types of consciousness. So this is interesting. Prabhupada often talks about how to develop consciousness. First be conscious, then we can develop consciousness, and hopefully then we can develop Krishna consciousness. Like that, with our association of these different modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, goodness, but ultimately we want to come to the platform of pure goodness and associate ourselves with pure goodness so that we our consciousness purifies and we come out of this cycle of birth and death. So yeah, like that. In the 8th century, Narayan Pandit wrote the Hitopadesh, which represents a collection of short stories involving humans and animal characters, and instructing the reader on the basis of ancient Indian moral values and ethical conduct. And Srila Prabhupada, during this class, referred to this verse from this book, from his book, Teachings of Queen Kunti. And in the Hitopadesh, verse 25, it says, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunam. Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunam cha Samanyaman Etat Pashubir Naranam. Dharmohi Tesham Adiko Vishesho Dharmena Hina Pashubi Samanya. So this first line and the last line are very important. Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunya is basically eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And then dharmena hina pashubi samanya. Okay, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between animals and humans? Animals also have to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. We also have to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But we do it in a more sophisticated way, in a nice house or on a platter, etc. But animals have a whole world to live in. And they're provided for. But we think, oh, it must be mine. I must go and earn my living. I must go and earn my food and shelter and clothing and so on and so forth. But then they're also doing the same thing. So what's the difference between us and them? Yes, Prabhu. We have high intelligence to inquire about spiritual matters, yes. And we have our free will to also make a choice about that, right? So it says in this verse, dharmena hina pashubi samanya. You're right. So dharma, the presence of dharma or the availability of dharma actually puts us apart from animals versus human. It makes us more human. Because there are so many human beings out there, they have the choice, they have intelligence, but they don't come through the platform of dharma. So then they are still considered as animals, according to Prabhupada in his purport. So he's saying life after life, these living entities are suffering the hellish conditions of material existence, with the prospects of only eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So a person practicing Dharma, especially in the mode of goodness, must come to the passion, to the position of compassion and mercy. The whole purpose of practicing Dharma in this age of Kali, as we know, Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata, the idea is that through the purifications of mantra, meditation, through Harinam, we purify ourselves to come to the platform of seeing what the rest of the world, what are these 8.4 billion species of life doing in this material world. Compassion and mercy are the two aspects that billions of living entities are living towards. So as we develop compassion and mercy, what is the difference between compassion and mercy? Any ideas? Any ideas? Compassion? Mercy? Come on. want to make it a bit more interactive. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. Compassion may have a cause. Mercy may not have a cause. Yeah, that's according to the... like I looked it up on the dictionary as well, as the differences, but it's very close. It says, compassion can be genuine concern for other living entities who are suffering. Mercy, on the other hand, can be defined as forgiveness shown towards somebody or someone. Mercy is the fruit of compassion. So, but... you know, mercy can exist without compassion. For example, a judge being merciful to the person being charged with a lenient sentence, right? So then there's mercy involved there, but he's not necessarily compassionate towards him. He doesn't really relate to that person like that. So mercy can exist, but compassion with mercy has really strong values, has really beneficial values for all the living entities. So I wanted to look at some of the personalities within our scriptures who are immensely compassionate. So, for example, Lord Krishna himself, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isn't he immensely compassionate? He created us to serve him. But some of us naughty children, we didn't want to be served by him. Right, we wanted to be the lords. So he said, okay, I will create you this entire world, this entire creation where you can enjoy your propensities. You can actually fill your heart with all your desires fulfilled. Isn't he compassionate? That's why he's known as Paradukhadukhi, Kripam Buddhi, i.e. compassionate. This word is very important in the sense that it takes an individual to really put themselves in other person's shoes in order to understand how they're feeling, so how then they can be helped with varieties of mercy or the type of mercy that's required for them to move on and be helped. Another personality is Srila Vyasadeva, because without him and his deep meditation, as he envisioned the hellish conditions that will be in the later parts of this age. In fact, in the previous age, he foresaw the Kali Yuga and the state of the living entities, how they'll be living in this material world. Shri Radha Gokulanand Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. How they'll be living in this age of Kali and how they'll actually continuously be suffering because they are only torturing each other. They're torturing each other. They're going down the living entities' life forms and then going up again and going down again. And this is continuing life after life after life. Birth, old age, disease and death. Birth, old age, disease and death. So Vyasadeva was even more compassionate because he wrote everything down. He wrote all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all the knowledge down. But then he wasn't satisfied. Then he called Narada Muni, another compassionate soul, to say, hey, I'm not satisfied. So Narada Muni said, because you haven't talked about Krishna, the supreme compassionate being. So talk about Krishna, then everybody will know him, and hopefully they will get to understand him, and so they'll perfect their life and remember the original constitution position, which is what we need to do, why we are here in this jail, hospital within a jail, as you like to call it. Bhaktivedanta Manor is a great hospital, 5 stars on the hospital register somewhere, on the ISKCON GBC perhaps. 5 stars has been given to Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's a great hospital for these conditioned souls who are suffering in the hellish jail that is there. Say again? Mental hospital, yes. There's a mental department here as well, yes, yes. Just like we're having new devotee care department, there's a mental department too, so hey. So like that. So you see, and in the scriptures we have many, many other compassionate beings that are described so that we can learn how to actually become compassionate. Like Vidura. Who knows about Vidura? Put your hands up. Vidura, Vidura. Great. Okay. Looks like everybody knows about Vidura. Vidura was an amazing uncle of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And the Kauravas, including the king Dhritarashtra, the blind king, insulted Vidura and threw him out of the kingdom for saying the right things. But because he was so compassionate, after his travels, he came back. When Yudhishthira Maharaja was installed as the king, and the war has ended, and the kingdom was in the right hands, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari were still in the kingdom, just roaming around, you know, sense gratifying, whatever they were doing. Vidura came back and reawakened their propensity to actually see what they need to do now to perfect their life and take Varnaprastha and ask them to move on and actually help them perfect their life and go back home, back to Godhead. Who does that? I mean, somebody, you know, is rude to me or, you know, harmful to me, I wouldn't be thinking about them. I'd be like, okay, you want to suffer, you carry on. But he's compassionate enough to go back, face all the, you know, people there who insulted him and still give them his mercy from all the knowledge that he'd gathered from his travels and actually give them his mercy. Prahlad Maharaj, another personality, Canto 4 talks about all about Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. His father was killing him. His father was torturing him. And yet, when Narsingadev came, like in that picture there, Narsingadev came, got rid of Hiranyakashipu, and asked Prahlad Maharaj for a benediction. Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't need a benediction. But Narsingadev said, I have to give you benediction. Ask whatever you like. He said, okay, please save my father. He was caring for his father. He was compassionate to his father. So he showed mercy to his father, Hiranyakashipu. So instead of suffering in the hellish conditions of life, he was promoted to his next life, to his next demoniac life. Like that. Yeah. Because this is Jaya and Vijaya after all, right? Or whichever one it is, I think is Vijaya, right? So Jay was Hiranaksha and Vijay is Hiranyakashipu. Like that. You see, Prahlad Maharaj states in a purport of Canto 4, chapter 21, verse 47, he says, well, actually, Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction, like I said. But because he wasn't like a businessman, usually an interaction with the god and asking, doing austerities for benedictions is non-different to business. This is what Karmakanda people do. So many people come to the temple, put money in the hundi. My dear Lord, my son is going through his exams. Please help him pass his exams. You know, I'm starting a new business. Please make my business successful. It's a bartering system. Unfortunately, that's what society has told them to do. That's what God is there for, apparently. But we know different. The scriptures tell us different. The idea is to understand and love, create relationship with the God, not just impersonalists. Like Prabhupada likes to hit many impersonalists and Mayavadis many, many times. So I didn't want to go down that route because he talks about I and mine. And we've been talking in the last many, many lectures about impersonalists and Mayavadis. I wanted to focus on compassion and mercy, and these personalities who are in our lives, day-to-day lives, giving us compassion and mercy. And obviously, more close to us, and in this age, Prabhupada himself, like a saint no other, right? At the age of 69, he voluntarily became homeless, penniless, and alone, arriving at the lower east end side of New York in search of better opportunities. Right. To share his message, he was on Skid Row, the lowest of the low. Here he lived, worshipped, and taught, and studied. latest resident of the rat-ridden 94 Bowery would fill up with buzzing, acid heads, bearded bohemians, ruined alcoholics, and disillusioned dropouts from society. Sex, music, LSD. Now, this isn't the ashram LSD of Left Side Down. This is the real LSD we're talking about, right? And conscious expansion, consciousness expansion. That's what made them tick. The Swami would nonchalantly step into a makeshift temple, take his seat at the front, face to face, like we are sitting here. Obviously, this is far more opulent, five-star. With these confused souls who are looking real, who are looking for real love, real happiness, and a real spiritual experience. Was he able to give them? Of course he was, because he was unfazed. He had excluding bottomless depth and boundless compassion. In short, straight, simple philosophical discourses, he taught them eternal truths with resounding impact. So this was him, and with his amazing kirtans in Tomkinson Square Park. Today, you can go and visit. There's a wonderful tree there. And this even says the Hare Krishna tree. And you can visit it. You can get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the tree. The tree is a witness. It's a living entity. It's a soul. Just in a tree body. It's still there today, getting the mercy of all these pilgrims who visit it. Surely that tree is going to go back home, back to Godhead when it finishes, right? Because everybody comes there and chants around him. How many of you have you been to Tomkinson Square Park? Not many. I really encourage you to go because it's such a life-changing experience. Because wherever Prabhupada went, it became a tirtha. Tirtha is a holy place, a dham, just like Bhaktivedanta Manor is. He's installed these deities. It becomes a tirtha. Tirthas are like portals, spiritual portals, that you can purify yourself and eventually actually go back home, back to Godhead. In this life itself. You can even do services here and forget time. Like on the weekend, Keshav Maharaj gave us the knowledge of time, right? We've got clock time. We've got biological time. We've got psychological time. And in the ashrams we have space out time. No. There is space out time, but you know, let's not space out. Let's space in. And actually use this time to spiritually enhance our journey. Use this portal to actually utilize it to uplift our consciousness. Be compassionate and have mercy. We have so many items of mercy here. It's unreal. This is what I want to talk about next. So Prabhupada was an amazing personality. He gave us so much. So much. He's still giving us through his books. He said, read my books. Read my books. Everything is in there. And so on a more practical level, the Lord has invested so much in his energies, so much that he has given us day in, day out. He sends Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he sends himself. He incarnates himself. He sends all his energies to woo us back to him, back to our original state of being a spiritual being in his service with love. Every one of us have a unique relationship with him. And so utilize this opportunity. Many, many opportunities that are out there in the world. So many tirthas are there. So many dhams are there. So many portals are there for us to purify our whole being. So now I want to do a little quiz. On a more practical level, the Lord has invested his mercy in so many items that we can come, that we already come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. So we have the mic. Great. Thank you, Chaitanya Prabhu. So how many items, what are these items of mercy that we have access to, that we get on a day-to-day basis to actually help us purify ourselves? You can put your hand up and then you can ask. Yes, Chaitanya Prabhu.
Be the devotees.
Devotees, yes, that is my first one. Tick. Association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha. Amazing, yes.
Prasadam, O Mahaprasadam.
Prasadam and Mahaprasadam. Total mercy. Amazing mercy. Coco-chan? The scriptures, the books themselves. Yes, the books that are all around us. Venugopal Prabhu? Chanting the holy name, Japa. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The complete mercy. Like complete purification. Now, remember, each of these items is actually purifying us. Sometimes in this mental hospital, we take it for granted. Right. We get darshans of the Lord. We take it for granted. Jagat Priya Mataji had a hand up. Chanting.
The Dham, as you said, the holy place.
The holy place, yes, the Dham itself. Somebody said prasadam, right? Who said prasadam? I want to relate a story about prasadam.
Devotional service.
Devotional service. Yes, seva, opportunities to serve. So prasadam, I was traveling recently, last year, in East Africa, in Kenya. We were going from Nairobi to Mombasa on a train. And I was sitting in my seat, and there was a personality next to me. He was middle-aged, about 50s, very aristocratic. He had his paper out in his black body, and he was reading, no eye contact, no nothing. And I was like, yeah, I could preach to him. I could, like, you know, see how he is, what makes him tick. He looks intelligent enough. And I was like, you know, you're doing all these sidelong glances like this and all these things that you do, but stoic, nothing. Just like that. I was like, oh, okay, fine. So I got into my book and, you know, got engrossed in it. 2 hours went by, and I was like, oh, well, I'm meant to be, you know, preaching to this guy. So what should I do? Luckily, Nairobi Temple had packed us some nice prasadam, including these cookies. So I took a cookie out, and I offered it to him. So, would you like a cookie? He goes, oh, yes. He took a cookie, and he started eating it. And then went back into his paper. I'm thinking, okay, well, did I lose my, like, chance to just break in there? At that point, we were passing through the national park there. So I saw in the distance giraffe and zebras and thinking. So I said to him, oh, look, is there a national park here we're passing through? And so that broke the ice. So the prasadam did the trick, and that sort of broke the ice. And I said, oh, yeah. He goes, yes, we're actually traveling through this national park, and next stop is our stop. And I'm thinking, oh, great, this is just my luck, you know. He goes, oh, we're a party of about 50 of us have come because it's somebody's birthday. We're celebrating the big birthday, 60th birthday, and we're all going together to this national park, and there's a resort, and we're going to be staying there. And I was chanting at some point. He goes, so what do you do? I said, well, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. He goes, oh, okay, well, I've heard about the Hare Krishnas. And then, but he didn't know anything about the philosophy. So he says, well, what do Hare Krishnas do? And that was a brilliant cue for me to then talk about our philosophy, talk about the living entities, how we have the organized religion, and how we have the spiritual science above organized religion. Krishna consciousness is like the spiritual science, and others are like organized religion, including cricket, football, and so on and so forth like that. So then, yeah, prasadam is amazingly potent. You never know when it sort of clicks in, and then you go into it. Serving opportunities. I was very, very fortunate very recently, and previously too, that I was able to serve my spiritual masters in D-Land, in USA, and more recently in Vrindavan. So serving the saints and sadhus are the most amazing mercy that you can get in order to... They are so compassionate, so merciful that they give us service. And we think, oh, it's a service, I have to do this. But no, actually, it's for our own purification. And more so, it's fun. It's actually fun to serve with your spiritual master, because there are so many things that you do in a day-to-day that you get to know them, get to know their quirks and how they function. So it's a really amazing thing to actually achieve in order to serve your spiritual master. Any other mercy? Yes, Chaitanya. Mike? Tulsi. Yes, that's on my list also. Tulsi Maharani. Wow, what an amazing personality. She is just the personification of mercy. That doesn't anyone get more mercy. Okay, Radharani is there, but she's an expansion of Radharani. But yeah, she is really merciful. Not only has she taken birth in this age as a plant, to just save us simply by just putting a couple of drops of water in her wipes away millions and millions of sins. Circumambulating her at least four times, according to the Vrindavan Tulsi Maharani plants, wipes away millions of sins. And she's immensely merciful. So yes, she's amazingly merciful. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
I just want to quote Mother Leelavati, who looks after Tulsi. And she says, the wonderful thing about Tulsi, she is very merciful, you know, and she fulfills our desires as well, if we're not careful, if we take shelter of her. But the one thing she said about Vrindadevi's mercy, Tulsi, is that she can't control her mercy. Mm. She can't help giving mercy. It's part of her nature. And so, you know, even the most terrible person, you know, them doing silly things, you know, horrible people, you know, it's a blooming old part. Just by her unlimited mercy, that person who is the worst malecha will get mercy. She can't control her mercy. She'll get them.
Yes.
Uncontrolled mercy.
Amazing, amazing.
It's part
of
her nature.
It's just part of her nature to be merciful. And not only that, she also says to Radha and Krishna, through Radharani, that look, your devotee has come to serve you. Whether that's our intention or not. But she sees only the positive in the personality who's coming in front of her. So like that, she's immensely merciful. What else? Yes.
I thought of like obstacles and things that are challenging, because that helps us to learn through experience. If you can't learn directly through hearing or seeing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, teachings of Queen Kunti tells us exactly that. Mother Kunti was saying, my dear Lord, I will miss you so much. You've been so compassionate to us. So please continue to give me many, many obstacles in my life so I have always ability to remember you. So yeah, obstacles are also forms of mercy. Challenges are also a form of mercy. You travel on this path of Krishna consciousness, trust me, a lot of obstacles will come in your way. How many of us have been traversing this path without obstacles? Not many of us. Every step is an obstacle. But we accept them, so we learn from them and we move on. We grow and we move on. What else? The holy name. Yes, somebody mentioned the holy name. Venugopal Prabhu? Festivals, Harinams, all mercy. Yes, Prabhu? Okay, that was one of my... There's one more. There's one of my last ones I've written because we've gone way over time. Kirtan, yes. We had a wonderful kirtan, which went over, but wonderful kirtan. So, arti paraphernalia. We are made of what elements? Our body is made of what elements?
Fire.
Earth, water, fire, ether, air, etc., right? And the subtle elements of mind, intelligence, and ego. The paraphernalia of the arti is also made of those things. When you offer them to the Lord and we take them, it purifies us. For example, flour and cloth is a representation for earth. Water is representative of water. Ghee lamp represents fire. Incense and yak tail fan represents air, as well as the peacock fan represents air. The conch and the bell represents ether. And the emotional involvement in the song sung and the mantras chanted represents the mind. The intellectual focus on the arti of the pujaris and all of us represents the intelligence, and the obeisances that we pay regularly, it represents the ego or the false ego, like that. Yes, Prabhu?
I had one.
Yes?
I thought that the morning program itself is a manifestation of mercy. Because all the things that we've listed, it encompasses all of these things.
That's right, yes.
And it's also Prabhupada's mercy. He's given us this.
So, yeah, so Prabhupada's actual system, process of chanting, dancing and feasting is the mercy that we get on our day-to-day basis. And we know that there is the Veda course ladies here also. So that's why I've wanted to go through some of these items so that we can see all the activities that we take part in on a day-to-day basis and how the mercy is flowing through on a regular basis. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Five most important items out of 64, which we probably mentioned. But I really think it's all meant to help us come to the point of pure chanting.
Yes.
So chanting Hare Krishna, in one sense, is because it's the Yuga Dharma.
So and yes, you're fast-forwarding in my class, but yes.
Oh, really?
It's okay. No, carry on.
Coming to the end.
Yes.
I was the one.
That's okay.
Anyway.
Thank you. One other item, which we get and some people don't. Okay, Ruben Prabhu, mic, please.
I was going to say that when we distribute mercy, we get the most mercy.
Yes, very good. Thank you. Those
and we develop compassion.
Compassion. Thank you for that. So distribution through books, Harinam, many way of distribution. Distributing mercy through prasadam. One other thing is the charanamrita. Charanamrita in the morning actually is contained the most amount of mercy that's there directly from the Lord. Through His body, we get it here. Anybody who comes, it doesn't discriminate who takes the mercy, but whoever comes, whoever they are, they instantly get purified. That's how much mercy there is in the Charanamrita. And those who serve Charanamrita, they get double the mercy back. Clearly, Kijuna, that's according to the scriptures. They get double the mercy because they are not only getting the purification, they are serving it. And they get double. Not only are they serving, we serve it to Prabhupada, to a saintly personality. So you can imagine the multiplication of that mercy of Charanamrita. It's so phenomenal. So phenomenal. So tomorrow there'll be a fight of who's going to serve Charanamrita. Okay. There is a warning, however. In the scriptures, there is a warning about compassion and misplaced compassion. It says, knowledge without compassion and empathy can render one insensitive, condescending, and judgmental. It can impair one's vision of others and block them from having the necessary discernment to mediate human relationships. So we need to have the right knowledge in order to execute the compassion and the mercy. Yeah, so hence read the books, see how we can become merciful. Like it says, the ninth offense, instructing the faithless. We need to know the knowledge so that we can speak the right language to the faithless. Okay, I have gone way over time. Dhammasevana Prabhu was going to come. Today is also the tithi of a very great personality, Jivapati Prabhu. Sorry, thank you. My mind just went. Jivapati Prabhu, who used to be here as an amazing, compassionate personality, serving for over 30 years at the altar of Radha Gokulananda. Day in, day out, almost practically 24 hours, he used to be at the altar for all those years. His great personality, we have his picture on the Srila Prabhupada altar here. So we basically pay obeisances to him and ask him for mercy that we can get his mood of compassion and service attitude. Okay, so I'd like to quickly summarize. Today we talked about how the living entities are getting entangled in this material world by citing the Bhagavad Gita verse 9:25, how most people are simply just eating, sleeping, mating, defending, just like it's stated in the Hitopada Upadesh 25. We have to show them compassion and mercy. We have to go out there. Yes, we can stay here and just do our day-to-day services, but the whole point of this is to learn the knowledge and go out and preach. and give them the mercy so that they can come out of this slumber and their stupor of sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. And then remember that warning of misplaced compassion. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.